You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Urban planning and transport is usually seen as a uniform, one-size-fits-all thing. One group that is challenging this is Women in Urbanism, a group that is pushing to make transport more accessible to women and people in need. Jack Marshall had a chat to Jia Rasmussen from Women in Urbanism about this.
I have been volunteering for about 2 years with Generation Zero, and then more recently I helped to start up Women in Urbanism Aotearoa, which is a group currently of only young women, but we're open to anyone joining. And our mission is to transform our cities and towns into more beautiful, inspiring and inclusive places for everyone. And the way that we plan to do this is by amplifying the voices and actions of all self-identifying women and girls in the realm of city planning and city building.
What would some like examples, like real life examples of this be? Because I can kind of think of, designing a city for like females at night. You'd want to have somewhere where you could actually have like a good view of the area and things like that. But what are the kind of examples does your organisation put forward?
Yeah, so there's a lot of great examples in Auckland that you can sort of look at. I think the fact that we're so focused on motorway building is a really clear example of where women-friendly design hasn't really been thought about, because, you know, many women, especially low-income women, don't have unlimited access to a car, so they may be sharing a car with family members or with their partner. So we can look sort of more recently into the Norwestern motorway, where there was no sort of public transport added in when that was rebuilt. The East-West Link that's being proposed is purely a motorway for commuters and for businesses, so there isn't going to be any sort of public transport links that address the needs of ordinary people. I think sort of some smaller examples are maybe the Norwestern Cycleway, which, I mean, it's great that we have a cycleway there, but it's very dark at night. There's lots of high fences around, so if you got into trouble or someone attacked you, there's no one around to help you.
Definitely. And yeah, it was funnily enough, I saw the organisation Greater Auckland. They just tweeted out a picture of Auckland Transport's board of directors, and it's like 10 exactly the same photos of just like middle-aged white men. Just kind of, this is like a good example for me of where things like diversity are, like, it's very clear that diversity would help this like immediately, because then it would put a different perspective that obviously they're just not thinking about.
Yeah, I think they actually got that photo from us. I think Emma, one of our members, tweeted that. But I think, you know, not only is there no women in that photo, but there's also, you know, Auckland's one of the most multicultural cities in the world, but it's, you know, majority white men. Auckland's, you know, there's a lot of young people in Auckland, but there's no younger people in that photo. So yes, it's important that women's voices are heard, but like we're also advocating that a whole spectrum of different voices is heard from what currently is out there.
These kind of things you're advocating for, is there like a list or like a manifesto that you'd like to see put forward? Or if, for example, what would you kind of implement straight away?
I guess we're a pretty new group, but there's a couple of sort of big key issues that we do want to focus on. I think a big one for Auckland, and we're not just an Auckland focus group, we do have starting to have little national branches in other cities like Wellington and Christchurch. But I think for Auckland, the key issue for us really is density, because when we have a more dense city, that makes it much easier to have better public transport and also to invest in walking and cycling infrastructure. We also feel that the urban sprawl that's currently being built in Auckland is not really serving women. It's also not serving minority people, people with disabilities. A range of different groups are being disadvantaged by it because it pushes our communities apart. Even though it is building new houses, it doesn't really contribute to affordability in any sort of effective way. And it also makes these people that isolated in the suburbs, they don't have access to amenities, they don't have access to transport to get around. Women who are traditionally in caregiving roles often are made to be taxi drivers for family members, whether it's children or older relatives, because they can't get around by themselves in those areas. So that's, density is definitely one of the big issues. I think cycling is a big one for us. Only 30% of cyclists in Auckland are female currently. The current cycling infrastructure that we see in Auckland and in Wellington, which is mostly just painted lanes, it doesn't cater to the needs of women, children or other disadvantaged people. For those types of people to feel confident cycling, we need a connected network of separated Copenhagen-style lanes. And I mean, I think this is a really good example of how this women-friendly perspective will actually benefit everyone, because if we have separated lanes, there'll be less accidents, more people out on bikes and not in their cars, which means less congestion and traffic. I think protected cycleways are also a really important one for us, because a lot of us in the group are cyclists and have experienced harassment when we're cycling. I, a couple of months ago, got a full can of beer thrown at me while I was cycling. And I think, like, by having protected cycleways, by making space for cyclists on the road, we're showing car drivers that cyclists have a right to the road and therefore they're less likely to be harassed.
Yeah, it's definitely a kind of, I cycle a lot as well, and it's kind of this impression that when you're a cyclist, you're in the car's space, it's not your space. And so,
yeah, and I mean, legally, like, we all have equal right to be on the road, but that's not how drivers perceive it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.